Welcome to Mid-Century Modernism with Monique, your go-to podcast for all things architecture, design, and innovation within mid-century modernism. Join me on a journey through the golden age of design, where every episode brings you fresh inspiration for modern living and unlocks the secrets of this iconic and timeless style. What are we waiting for? Let's get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Mid-Century Modernism with Monique. I'm Monique Anton, your host, and I'm thrilled today to have my friend Hannah from Docomomo joining us today. How are you, Hannah?
Great. Thanks for having me, Monique. This is really fun.
So Hannah Simonson is the architectural historian, cultural resources planner at Page and Turnbull in San Francisco, and she's the current president of Docomomo U.S. Northern California chapter, and she's on the advisory committee for the Glen Park Neighborhoods History Project. She also wrote her master thesis for the University of Texas at Austin on Diamond Heights in 2017, and has given numerous walking tours of the neighborhood since. And I love that you are so passionate about this neighborhood. I love Diamond Heights because the Eichlers are there. But can you share with us what your fascination is with this area?
Yeah, Diamond Heights is really fun. It's a neighborhood that I think even a lot of people who've lived in San Francisco for a long time, maybe they've heard of it, but they maybe don't even know where it is or they haven't been in it before. So it's kind of this hidden gem. And I think that what's so interesting about it is that it was a San Francisco Redevelopment Agency project. And so it was all developed in this really kind of concise period from the 60s to the 70s. So it's this really dense concentration of kind of Bay Area regional style modernism that you just don't see in such concentration anywhere else in San Francisco. So I think that it's very unique in that sense. And I think it's fun for people to discover something new in their own city. So that's often what the walking tours are about.
Yeah. And you've done the Eichler tours there. There's also a builder. They were called the Stoneson Brothers. Mm-hmm. They did a lot of great sort of Eichler imitations and flat roof homes there that I love.
Yeah, definitely. You can really see that Eichler's aesthetic is inspiring other designers there. And there's definitely an interest in mid-century modern and kind of bringing that to middle-class audiences and kind of bringing that new design into San Francisco in an interesting way. And I think you see that also with some of the galley construction houses in Diamond Heights, which is really surprising because Galley did a bunch of houses out in the Sunset and Portola that are very, you know, traditional, kind of those modest period revival kind of stucco boxes all next to each other. But in Diamond Heights, he brings on an architect, Hayes and Smith, and they start doing much more modernist mid-century stuff. And you can see that they're kind of responding to the context of Diamond Heights and kind of elevating it in this way with the mid-century design, which is interesting.
I love that. And you have a website, moderndiamondheights.com, that I love. And I think from that, you kind of, with Page and Turnbull and with your work doing this and with Docomomo, you're kind of this bridge to these homes. I mean, you've planned all of these tours. I don't know how the heck you've planned so many tours and events, but I was so impressed that I joined the organization recently, and I'm really happy that I did. Docomomo is a nonprofit organization dedicated to the documentation and conservation of buildings, sites, and neighborhoods of the modern movement. And this has been over 30 years. Docomomo has led this force. Before Mad Men, before Design Within Reach, and before Dwell magazine, there was Docomomo. And when you started the Northern California chapter, you started running it as the president in a different way by opening up more homes and providing more tours. Can you share with us a little bit about your history there and how that experience has been?
Yeah, I mean, Northern California chapter has been active. It was one of the earliest chapters in the U.S. organization. It's we're actually part of an international organization that was started in the Netherlands, and there's other chapters. Other countries have chapters, and there's a bunch of regional chapters in the U.S. now. But Northern California was one of the early ones, and they really did a lot of really great work advocating around modernism and drawing attention to modernism, especially in the 90s when modernism was kind of at a low point in terms of people's interest in it. Postmodernism had kind of taken up a lot of energy and space in architectural discussions in the 80s. And there, you know, in the 90s, a lot of modernist buildings were kind of reaching that 30-ish year threshold where a lot of, you know, building systems need to be renewed, and, you know, deferred maintenance really has taken its toll. So that's a period where a lot of buildings are starting to be demolished. So the 90s was kind of a critical turning point, I think, and Docomomo and other organizations really, I think, helped draw interest back to modernism and started rebuilding its popularity over time. And the organization has, you know, been around since then, doing all kinds of different events, from lectures to advocating about buildings like the Berkeley Art Museum by Mario Ciampi, a beautiful brutalist building that kind of recently found a new life. And so in the past couple years, you know, we had kind of a lull during COVID, but
as everyone did.
Exactly. But we've still been working hard to kind of advocate for buildings that are under threat, and just also educating people about modernism, about Bay Area kind of specific modernism as well, because we of course have our own kind of unique flavor of modernism here. So those are the kinds of things that we're interested in.
Right. Well, I love the website is just packed with information, and there's a section called a Take Action and Save a Site, which I think is really valuable for listeners. And you have to go on the site and see just this amazing wealth of knowledge. I mean, there are catalogs and catalogs of information here that I think would have saved about 2 years off my life, just, you know, pouring over information and title reports. And I'm so impressed that you have this. There's also a section under designers. If you guys go to the website, docomomo-us.org, you'll see under Explore Modern, under designers, I mean, you have everyone from Albert Kahn to Aalto. You have, you know, Charles Eames, hello, Le Corbusier, John Lautner here looking very dapper on this site, Eero Saarinen. I mean, all of this information is here. Links to their work is there. I would have paid, I mean, just for this information, I probably would have paid enough for, you know, 6 or 7 memberships altogether just for this knowledge. I urge all of you to go to this website, check it out, and to join. And to join, there are 3 tiers. There is the student membership, which you mentioned was at a great discounted price. There's the individual price, which is $100. That's it. And then the household, how does the household membership work? There's a discount there as well.
Yes, and I can't remember the exact price off the top of my head, but it's, you know, if you and your partner love modernism and want to support Docomomo as a duo, you can get a discounted membership for the two of you.
Okay.
And the membership comes with a number of perks. You get kind of reciprocal benefits at a number of really awesome modernist sites across the country, and a lot of local chapters. When you become a member of Docomomo US, you get to pick a regional affiliation. So if you're here in the Bay Area, you can choose a Northern California affiliation, which is great because that then supports our local chapter. And if you are a member, you get often discounted tickets to events at your local chapters, Docomomo events. We also sometimes have free tickets for certain events for members. So there's definitely a lot of perks to being a member. And of course, the website and newsletters are free and available to anyone, member or not, because part of Docomomo's mission is really about getting information and education out there. So we want to make sure that those resources are available to everyone. And I love that you brought up that page on the website, Monique, because that's actually a new resource on the website. And so we're really excited about that. And I think it'll probably be built up over time. A lot of the names you mentioned are kind of the icons of modernism, but there's also a lot of names on there that people might not recognize because they're maybe lesser known kind of regional or local practitioners that I think also deserve a lot of recognition. So it's great to have all of those resources available kind of in one place.
I love that. And I work with a lot of buyers who want to preserve this architecture, so this is right up my alley, and all of this information that's available is so incredibly valuable. You also have an entire register list. You can go look up everything that is on the nation's historic modern sites registry list, which is ridiculous. Taking whoever took the time to enter all of that information, I say kudos to them. But of all the tours that you've done, what are some of your favorite sites that you have toured? And could you share with us maybe a little bit about how these tours go? And I know it's so much fun. Your group is a great group of modernists.
Yeah, well, that's such a good question. There's so many great tours that we've done. And of course, you know, Diamond Heights is close to my heart. And I've done tours of Diamond Heights on kind of a regular basis. For a number of years now, but probably, you know, other than Diamond Heights recently, I think one of the really fun tours that we did as a group, Docomomo, we did a tour of the Embarcadero Center, which is by John Portman. It's, you know, it was built from 1971 to 1981, so it's kind of later modernism, and it's kind of an intimidating, giant complex, but I think that it's one of these sites that the more time you spend there and the more you explore it, you always find new and interesting things. And the interior atrium of the Hyatt Regency is, despite being somewhat altered, is still one of the kind of spectacular interior modernist spaces in San Francisco. So that was a really fun tour that the group did recently.
I love that. And they just named the winners. You did an event, the 2023 Modernism in America Awards, and 13 recipients who are preserving architecture. I love that you've been doing this. What is this process like for these people that are restoring these homes?
Yeah, it's a great question. So the Modernism America Awards is an annual awards that is put on by the U.S. organization. It's been going on for a number of years now, and I think that the idea is really wanting to recognize the valiant efforts of both homeowners as well as commercial and institutional organizations in their work to preserve modern buildings, as well as, you know, give some of these buildings new uses, new lives, and kind of recognize that it's often a challenge, and a lot of people put a lot of time and money and effort into these projects, and we really think that they deserve recognition. And also it's great to kind of put up these projects as examples, as inspiration for others, proof that these kinds of adaptive reuse or renovation projects can work. So I think it's really great. And there's also an award that is an element of the awards program that's all about advocacy, which is also really cool. So those awards are about individuals or organizations that are advocating for a modernist building or site that's under threat. And so I think that that's also a really important part of the awards. And actually, the Preservation Action Committee in San Jose, PAC-SJ, got an award this year for their advocacy around the old City Hall building, which is a beautiful modernist building that's currently sitting empty, and the county wanted to demolish it even though they had no plans for the site. So they just want to demolish it and just leave the site empty. And PAC-SJ and a number of other people kind of helped come together and challenge that and point out that, you know, A, that's very unsustainable to demolish a building that could be reused, especially without a plan for the site. And I think that there's still a lot of work to be done. You know, the fate of the building is still a bit uncertain, but I think that there's definitely opportunity for this to be a case study in adaptively reusing modernist buildings and really pushing this kind of sustainability aspect of, you know, the greenest building is a building that already exists is like a common phrase that we throw around in preservation. But I really think that there is opportunity with that building.
Yeah. And it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And
it's beautiful.
And it boggles my mind. People that just want to tear something down to have that space available, they don't consider that someone would want to restore it.
Yeah.
And restoration can be expensive, but I think that preserving that architecture would be something that would also be enjoyed by people that live there and that community. So,
absolutely. And I think that another building that got an award this year is the Bakar Bioingenuity Hub in Berkeley. And it kind of just proves this. This is an adaptive reuse of the old Berkeley Art Museum, this brutalist building by Mario Ciampi, which I mentioned earlier, actually.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, Berkeley, of course, claimed that, you know, they couldn't possibly seismically retrofit it, and it's too expensive, too many challenges.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm sure it was expensive and it was challenging from a structural perspective, but they were able to find a new use for it. And I think that it just proves that, you know, if you get creative and really put your mind to it, there is a way to find a new life and a new use for these buildings. And that's a great example of, you know, maybe in some ways Berkeley would have thought it was easier to just demolish that building and start from scratch on that site. But it's such a cool building. And I think it's a really exciting and dynamic space now. So it's really great that it's found that new life.
Well, seeing a lot of new popular restaurants and clubs and museums and buildings, you'll see that people have a fascination with the old materials. So I think if people understood that to restore something and to create something new, a lot of times you can save these beautiful materials where the design is just perfect as it is. You don't need to add anything there. So I think a lot of times, too, we're telling buyers these costs that you think in your head, just take those out because you're going to leave a lot of these materials exactly as they are. So I love that you guys are doing that. How has your work, I wanted to talk more about Page and Turnbull and your work there. How has your work contributed there to your work at Docomomo?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that the work that we do at Page and Turnbull, we're a preservation architecture firm, and I do a lot of work doing research and preservation planning. And I think that, you know, we of course work on all types of projects. It's not all modernism, but I do get to work on a lot of very cool modernist buildings. So through that work, you know, I think that I've learned a lot as a professional. I've, you know, gotten to dive really deep on certain individual buildings like the Transamerica Pyramid and Embarcadero Center. And, you know, those projects have definitely deepened my understanding of those specific buildings, but also the role that modernism and redevelopment and all of those kinds of things played in shaping kind of the built environment of San Francisco. So I feel like I know San Francisco so much better after, you know, a number of years working at Page and Turnbull. And other projects, you know, we've worked on a couple of really interesting projects that are doing design guidelines for homeowners. So in Palo Alto, we worked on these design guidelines for all the Eichler neighborhoods in Palo Alto, which was a really, really interesting experience. And I think in that case, you get to learn a lot from the community and understand why people love Eichlers, why people are excited to live in Eichlers, and also what the challenges are of being a homeowner of an Eichler or a, you know, a mid-century modern home. Like, how do you sensitively do an addition, or how do you incorporate solar panels in a way that doesn't detract from the architecture, or, you know, how do you deal with heating and cooling, or dealing with your broken radiant heat? You know, all of these like little things that are honestly the reality of being a homeowner. And so it's, you know, very gratifying to be able to put a resource out there to the public to help people in their journey, kind of trying to figure out what the best way to make those sensitive alterations are, to preserve the legacy of Eichler and modernist architecture and that kind of community. So that's been really fun.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. I went to a lot of those talks, and I remember how many surveys you put out and how much time and effort was taken to get as much accurate information as possible with the community. That was pretty amazing. I remember we went to a couple board meetings too in Palo Alto where, you know, we were filling out information, and I love how thoughtful and planned that was and thorough. That was really great. On the website, I love that you, on Docomomo's website, you list wonderful, beautiful mid-century modern homes that are for sale. I think a lot of people will love this. This is one of the probably most hit pages on the website. They are for sale and they are threatened. And I would like to point attention to this amazing Rudolf Schindler home that is in Pasadena. You guys have to check out this house. It's so gorgeous. The page is so beautiful. It's under their real estate, under news, real estate roundup. And I love that. Real estate roundup. They're bringing attention homes that need to find owners, new stewards of the property. So please check that out. My last question for you is, how can people get involved in the Northern California chapter? I actually have two questions. This isn't my last one. The Northern California chapter, just joining, I've seen how many things you're doing and upcoming tours and events. How can people get involved, and what is going to happen this coming year with the chapter?
Well, I love that you asked us that. So, I mean, you mentioned membership before. You know, becoming a member is a great way to start getting involved, but also you can subscribe to our newsletter. The Northern California chapter has its own newsletter. So the subscription link is on our website. The Northern California chapter website is docomomo-noca.org. And we're on social media. I think I would say we're probably most active on Instagram. So if you're on Instagram, give us a follow. There's lots of updates there. And our newsletter and Instagram are probably the best way to kind of stay up to date with what events are coming up, what advocacy issues we're involved with. And I would say if you want to get involved, the best thing to do is come to an event and, you know, chat with us. We're like always really excited to see new faces on tours or at events. And that's kind of often the way that we've kind of roped people into the organization over the years. They come to one event and, you know, the next thing they know, they're on the board.
Well, it's
but
addicting.
not that you have to do that, but of course, you know, that's like a great way to do it. You can also, you know, just shoot us an email and say, you know, tell us what you're interested in. We love to hear that. And we also love to hear, you know, what kind of events people are interested in, because, you know, we're an all volunteer organization. So, you know, we do a lot of walking tours, but if there's other types of events that people are interested in or advocacy issues that they know about, we do want to hear about that. So definitely drop us a line.
Yeah, it's such a fun group. And I think I was the last one in our community of friends, a lot of modernists who are involved in preservation were making fun of me. You know, how are you not a member? And I was so embarrassed to call you and say, you know, it's been years. I know we've been, you know, going back and forth and talking about these preservation tours and events, but I really want to join. And I was just so impressed and amazed that when I did join, I saw so many familiar faces, so many familiar names. Just knowing friends over the years that care about these same things. So it's just a fun group. And for those of you listening, if you are a true listener of my podcast, you need to be a member of this as well. So we were talking before about SFAI, and it's very sad. The San Francisco Art Institute went bankrupt, and the question is, what will happen to the building, Hannah? Please help.
Yes, this is an example of one of the advocacy issues that is sort of top of mind for us right now. It's pretty tragic to see this longstanding arts institution leave San Francisco. I mean, so many iconic artists went through this college, and so it's really a loss to San Francisco to have that institution no longer around. And right now the question is kind of what is going to happen to the building. So if people aren't familiar, the SFAI has been located in this building on Chestnut. It was a 1920s Bakewell and Brown building that then later was expanded by Fafford Keating Clay with this really, really cool brutalist edition that opened right around 1970. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic architecturally. And it's certainly one of the best works of brutalism, concrete construction in San Francisco, I think. And Fafford Keating Clay is a really interesting architect who didn't build all that much, but what he did build was really spectacular. And so I think that his contribution to modern architecture in San Francisco is really important. And the building is on the National Register, and it is a local landmark, but the local landmark specifically is of the older building. It was landmarked in the early 70s, so they didn't really recognize the significance of Fafford Keating Clay's addition at that time because it was only a few years old. So the older portion of the building is landmarked, as well as a Diego Rivera mural inside. But the addition is not part of the local landmark, so, you know, there is some question about what might happen to this building, what is its future life going to be, and, you know, there's discussions about who's going to buy the building. Recently, there was some news that Lorraine Powell Jobs and some group is interested in buying the building to start a new arts institution there, so that's certainly intriguing. You know, the idea of it still being a space dedicated to art is really, I think, positive, but there is, you know, still a big question about what's going to happen to the building, and we really want to make sure that, you know, whoever takes over the building is a good steward of also the modernist architecture that is part of this. It's a really important building, and there's a lot of information on our website about Fafford Keating Clay if anyone wants to know more about this building or other buildings that he did in San Francisco and in the Bay Area. I think it's a really, really good resource there.
Yes. Well, thank you everyone for listening. And thank you so much, Hannah Simonson, for being on the show. And your work is so necessary, so appreciated, and so respected. So thank you.
Thanks so much for having me, Monique. This was really fun, and it's so great to have you in the Docomomo fold. So excited
Thank
to see
you.
More faces in the future.
Thank you so much. Yes, everyone listening, we hope to see you at the next meeting, and I will see you on the next episode. Have a good one. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. I hope you had as much fun learning about the world of mid-century modernism as I did. You can also catch the show on my YouTube channel, where we walk through some of the most stylish mid-century modern homes in California. Just search for Mid-Century Modernism with Monique and hit subscribe. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and leave me a comment to let me know what you think. Your feedback helps me make the show even better. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time on Mid-Century Modernism with Monique.